There are five myths about finding love that people tell us all the time we need to believe, but they actually damage us and lead us away from love and lead us away from a truth that is actually much more empowering, healing, and hopeful. Stay tuned to this episode of the Deeper Dating Podcast to learn more.
If you've ever been disillusioned, disappointed, or discouraged in your search for love, and you know there has to be a better way to find the healthy, soul-filling love you've always longed for, then you've discovered the podcast for you. I know, as Ken's work personally has led me to find the love of my life. So here's your host of Deeper Dating, Ken Page.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Deeper Dating Podcast. I'm Ken Page, and I'm a psychotherapist, the author of the book Deeper Dating, the co-founder of the meeting event Deeper Dating, and the host of this show. And today, I'm going to talk about five incredibly toxic dating myths that we all get taught, and most of us believe, and cause huge amounts of pain and misdirection in our search for love. This week and every week, I'm going to share the greatest tools that I know to help you find love and keep it flourishing and heal your life in the process. Because truly, the skills of dating are the skills of intimacy, and those are the greatest skills of all for a rich and wonderful life. And if you want to learn more about the Deeper Dating approach to finding love, just go to deeperdatingpodcast.com. You can join my mailing list. You can get transcripts of every episode and find out about a lot of different resources and get some free gifts too. I also just want to say that everything I share in this podcast is educational in nature. It is not medical or psychiatric advice. And if you have symptoms that are concerning you, please seek professional help. And finally, I would love it if you could leave a review, if you could subscribe. Your reviews mean the world to me, and people write beautiful and powerful and very personal and specific things, and that just has meant a great deal to me and also helps other people find out about the show. Okay, so let's dive in. So often in my field, when I listen to people's dating advice, God knows not everyone, but so many people's dating advice, I just cringe because I'm aware that this advice is enacting a kind of violence against people's spirits that lead them to love themselves less and ultimately end up having them being attracted to and choosing people who aren't good for them because they're not being their authentic self. And this advice is in so many ways endemic. It's all over the place. And I'm going to talk about five myths that we have been trained to believe that actually cause a kind of psychic violence in our being and don't lead to love. They lead to desperation, they lead to insecurity, and they lead to artificial behavior that ends up getting us in trouble. So I think I've talked about this before, but Frederick Leboyer was a French obstetrician and author who wrote a book called Birth Without Violence. And in it, he popularized gentle birthing techniques that did not involve slapping a baby or having the baby's first breath be a cry. He would immerse the baby in water, the exact temperature that was in the mother's womb, and let the baby somehow come to breathing on its own. And the faces of these babies who are immersed in water, obviously not their faces, but their bodies are immersed in water and they're being stroked. The umbilical cord is still attached and they take their first breath naturally. Their faces are so beautiful and Buddha-like. There are videos of this. And so he promoted birth without violence. And what I'm kind of promoting here is dating without violence. And I'm going to talk about each of these different myths, and I'm going to talk about why they're not true and what I think is both true and healing in their place. So here's the first one. And this is one I've spoken about before, but it is that it's all about your attractiveness, not about your attractions. The key thing that you can do to find love is look better. Look more attractive and act more attractive. And this is, I would say, the mother lode in terms of dating advice. This is where so much dating advice spends its time and energy. There is this relentless fixation on making yourself look smoking hot. And absolutely, it is true that if you look smoking hot, more people are going to look at you. More people are going to want to have sex with you. More people might want to have a first date with you. All these things are true. But the statistics show that being smoking hot helps you just about not one drop in finding healthy, lasting love. And I think we all know that people who are just exceedingly gorgeous looking often have their own set of problems. And in fact, the research shows it's often harder for them to find love. But even lobbing off those people who are just, you know, model-like gorgeous, this fixation on those 5 pounds or 10 pounds or 30 pounds or 50 pounds or ways of acting that will seduce people, we're going to get to that one later. But this fixation on our attractiveness, and God knows, I was eaten alive by that. This information kind of chews us up in our 20s, our 30s, even in our 40s, and then just starts to spit us out when we reach our 50s and 60s and thereafter. But this kind of tyrannical focus on how we look is just not true. And I say this based on research, and I say it on experience, my own personal experience. Because there was a period where I looked pretty smoking hot, I think, and worked on that really hard in my 20s and early 30s. And it helped me not one drop. It helped me a lot to have sex. Yes, it did. But it helped me not one drop to find love, because that's not what really leads to love. So this focus, this relentless focus on our attractiveness really does eat us up and misses the point in profound ways. And I also want to say, well, first of all, it is great to make yourself look attractive. It's an act of love to yourself. It's a pleasurable experience. It is a gift to the person you date. And research also shows that just the act of grooming yourself well and having good posture dramatically does improve your chance of being noticed. And all of the other stuff of like kind of really getting to that extra unbelievable level, the effectiveness of that actually levels off. Good posture and good grooming take up a huge amount of space in terms of success around attractiveness. But after that, and in addition to that, what we really need to focus on if we want to find happiness in love is our attractions. And I think, I can't promise, but I think that my next episode is going to be about being attracted to narcissists and how that happens, what we can do about it, and how that's playing out in the world context right now and in our country. So getting back to this, though, the ability to study, well, who are the kind of people that I tend to get attracted to? What kind of people turn me on the most? If I look at my patterns of relationships, what have been the negative patterns that I ended up discovering my partners had again and again? What are the key ones? What are the major ones so that I can know to look out for those? And another question is, what are the qualities that were wonderful qualities that I found in some of the people that I dated or had relationships with? And how can I look really more clearly and strongly for those same qualities again? Because our attractions are more than just attractions. They're x-rays into the shape of our being. They're x-rays into the state of our self-love and self-honoring. And in my book and my courses and all my work, this is one phase of the journey that we always focus on, which is doing a study of our attractions to find out what that teaches about the parts of ourselves we haven't learned how to love yet, because they're directly linked. So this crazy focus about your attractiveness, I promise you that you can let go of a huge percent of it, because it's not what's going to help you find the kind of love that's going to last. It's the deeper skills of intimacy and dating that we teach here that really make all the difference in the world. So that's one, this tyrannical, obsessive, painful, self-defeating, relentless focus on extreme attractiveness. So here's another one. You need to be confident if you want to find love. So I'm just going to speak one about this one briefly, but there is a relentless fixation on confidence as well, on coolness and confidence. Now, natural confidence is a glorious thing. Just believing in ourselves and trusting ourselves, but in a way that has humility and flexibility, where we can acknowledge and admit the ways that we're not perfect, but we're somehow essentially confident in our goodness, our capacity, our decency. That's just a glorious thing, unequivocally. But the truth is that most of us spend some chunk of time not being confident. And this belief that when we're in that state, we can't date, we can't find love, we can't build intimacy is hugely not true. There's a set of skills of how to be with ourselves and be in the world when we're feeling really shy, when we're feeling insecure, when we're feeling inadequate, when we're feeling uncertain. There's a set of skills that we can learn where we can honor ourselves in the process and ask ourselves the huge question, what do I need now? And what we might need might be to ask somebody for something. It might be to have time and space alone. It might be any one of a number of things. But when we're not feeling confident, when we're in a zone where we're not feeling together and integrated, and our question becomes, how can I come off that way? We create a kind of corrosion of our internal structure. There's a feeling of crumbling that we fight against all the time. Or I've described it as kind of climbing a wobbly ladder. The wiser question to ask is, what do I need right now? Which is a much more self-loving question. So, confidence is great, natural confidence, but we do not need to force confidence. And the deeper and wiser path of confidence is knowing how to care for ourselves when we're not feeling so confident. And in truth, that's authentic confidence. So here's another one. We hear all the time, and I've talked about this a bunch, and I'm going to keep talking about it because it just kills me. And so many well-known and well-respected teachers teach this information. I think it's damaging, and I think it's limiting. And what it is women, you want to stay in your feminine energy and cultivate your feminine energy, the heterosexual women, if you want to find a masculine man. Men, you need to be an alpha male. You need to be in your masculinity if you're going to wow the women for heterosexual women. And I think that some of these same kind of gender role situations apply in the LGBTQ community as well, although dramatically less, which is why John Gottman has said that the LGBTQ plus community is just decades ahead in terms of relationship healthiness in the way that they are not trapped by these electrocuted tripwires of gender taboo. So, people say things like, oh yes, we all have masculine and feminine qualities, but women, if you really want a masculine man, you really need to be in your femininity, because if you're not, you will somehow scare the masculine men away. I don't really understand this, but it's what they say. Men, if you want to seduce women, you need to be in your alpha state. And I will never forget this wonderful, lovely man in one of my workshops saying to me, I know that as a non-alpha man, I will never be able to find the kind of woman that I really want, like that, the kind of really amazing women. They only want alpha men, and I'm not that, and I've come to accept that. And I've seen so many men damaged by this kind of male seduction routine belief about being an alpha male, such damage. And they've come to me in therapy, as have so many women, around the issue of this femininity piece, and said, I have to fix this. And I say to them, you have been deeply misled. Because the minute you're not you, The minute you think I have to tweak myself into a more feminine or masculine space, you are not being you. You are being artificial. You are setting up a seduction technique that is ultimately going to backfire on you, because authenticity is what you need to be. So a woman might be having sex with a guy, and I know I'm talking very only heterosexual here, and I will open that field up, but so a woman's having sex with a guy, and she really wants to ride him on top. She wants to be on top, but she thinks, oh no, that is not feminine energy, so I can't do that. Or she might want to be more dominant or more empowered. Or a man might want to touch on his more submissive parts. And each of these people think, taboo, taboo. I do this and I will look so deeply unattractive. And not even just in sex, but in interactions. All of us are forcing this stuff. We're holding our bellies in all the time to try to be this model of what we're supposed to be. And researchers who have a deeper awareness of this, don't use the word masculine or feminine. They use the word instrumentality and expressiveness instead of masculinity and femininity, because those principles are not based on your physiological anatomy. And that's so much wiser and so much more true. Now, we're in a stuck point in a way because culture determines what's attractive. And as our culture shifts, God knows now women can be so much more empowered. Men can be so much more instrumental. Men can be so much more expressive than might have been allowed in the past because the culture is changing. But we're in between. We're in an in-between state. So those of us who are choosing to be pioneers in expressing all different parts of our gender identity spectrum or our instrumentality or expressiveness, we're pioneers, but we are also needing to look for people who can match us in that and do that with us. So for all the men who worry that they're not masculine enough, I want to say, I promise you that whatever gender identity or gender identities you're interested in, I promise you that there are so many people who would find your degree of instrumentality and expressiveness the cat's meow. I promise this is true. Women, the same thing is true. Whatever your kind of place is that you are in the spectrum of instrumentality or expressiveness, or masculine and feminine, as people often say, I promise you that there are people who will absolutely love that, need that, and want that. This is another truth that we're not told. I just feel like so much dating advice is just, it's crushing without even meaning to be. Okay, so here's another one. We get told, and we believe, because it seems to make rational sense, that the search for love is a numbers game. But I will prove to you that that is not true. Because the amount of matches that happen now and the amount of numbers of people that you can meet in online dating, if this numbers game thing was true, it would mean that more people are coupled and happily coupled. But the research shows that that is far from the truth. And that number of matches does not directly correlate in any way, shape, or form to your success in finding love. And in doing the research that I've done and meeting people that I would have thought wouldn't be able to find partners because of their state of poverty, the fact that maybe they just got diagnosed with a terminal illness and they had a very, very short amount of time left, or people with disabilities that are just, extremely profound. And I have seen again and again these people, by doing the work of their own intimacy journey, find amazing, amazing, real, and lasting love. And I've seen so many people without these challenges not be able to find love. I've really come to believe that it is so much more about your inner state. Does it take bravery? Does it take getting out there? Yes, it does. It doesn't just happen like a miracle. I mean, it can, but it really, I believe we need bravery and we need to get out there. But I do believe that the more we make this decision to be truly who we are, and the more we make the choice to only look for people with whom that self feels safe and honored and cherished and where it's mutual, when we make those choices and combine bravery with that, our chance of finding love goes up amazingly. And I know that so many older women feel like the numbers are against me. There are so few guys of my age who want to date somebody like me. And I know that the numbers really do reveal the truth of that. But what I also know is that the determining factor in my mind is so much less numbers and so much more who you are and how you let yourself be and your willingness to get out there being who you are. And here's the last one that just kills me. How many times have you seen articles that say things like, have you noticed that some women, just without even trying, attract these incredibly, wonderfully desirable quality men or women or people? That people just kind of like are at their feet loving them. And what do they have that's so special? And have you noticed that some guys can just really get any woman or any person that they want? Somehow they've just got this thing. Well, you can have it too, and here's how. This, my friends, is the path to hell, and I just cringe at this advice. So as I've said so many times, you do not want to be someone who is, quote-unquote, irresistible to quality people. You want to be you, and you want to find somebody who the real you is experienced as irresistible and wonderful and glorious. It's an act of bravery and faith to not feel like you have to learn these skills and these qualities that are going to seduce people, that are going to make you irresistible, and say, instead, I am going to cultivate the essence of who I am. I'm going to lead with the essence of who I am. I'm going to be brave in doing that, and I'm going to look for people with whom my soul feels safe and with whom I feel inspired. Is that a kind of lonely, scary path? A little bit. That's why we need help and why we need support in this path of truth. And I want to say that in some ways, this mirrors the path of intimacy, and it mirrors the artist's path as well. Because in an intimate relationship, any kind of relationship, we're always going to have voices that tell us who we think we're supposed to be. And those voices sometimes can be useful and help us as measuring sticks about good qualities, but often they guide us into thinking that we're supposed to be someone different than we are, and then we try to be that. Instead of the true path of intimacy, which is an artist's path and a warrior's path and a lover's path, and it's the path of saying, what am I really feeling? What am I really experiencing? Who am I really now? What are my needs? What are the needs of the person I'm with? What are the ripples of confusion and ambivalence and beauty and aching and longing or uncertainty? What are those feelings that I'm feeling? And staying with the truth of those. And that's the artist's path too, because an artist needs to say, what's my real experience? What am I really seeing? What am I really feeling versus what society and culture tells us I should be seeing or feeling at this moment? This is the warrior's path, and it's the path of intimacy. And thinking that you need to do all these things to become irresistible is just simply the path to hell. And it's a path that moves us away from liberation, self-love, and healing. So I'm happy to have shared these thoughts about this kind of toxic and kind of almost violent dating advice that ultimately really hurts us, but compels us so deeply at the same time to want to follow it. And I want to point out the hope embedded in the messages that we're talking about here. You don't always need to be confident. You need to be able to navigate the parts of you where you don't feel confident and interact with the world from there. That's a kind of greatness and intimacy. You don't need to force yourself into roles of typical masculine or feminine, behavior in order to attract people and not repel people. It is so much less a numbers game than we've been taught. You do not have to worry about becoming irresistible. And it's less about the fixation on attractiveness and so much more about a deeper, wiser understanding of your attractions and learning to work with them. And that's why this deeper path to love is so much of a richer and more healing path. So thank you all for listening. I encourage you, if you could, to go to deeperdatingpodcast.com and join my mailing list. And I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Deeper Dating Podcast.
And that's it for today's episode of Deeper Dating. Be sure to go to deeperdatingpodcast.com as Ken has a few more gifts for you. Then join us on the next episode.